friends. And you know what? It's a great privilege for this invitation, the greatest feast there ever will be. You know, and I have this privilege this morning to read this Word of God and give you the invitation to this feast that's going to last forever and ever in the sky. Great privilege we have to honor Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Will you be at that marriage supper in the sky? Will all your family be there? You see, you love your kids. You love your wife, your husband, your family. But you see, your love will not make it. It's got to be something else. They won't be there just because you love them. I'll tell you something else. Jesus Christ loves you so much. He loves you so much, He was willing to die on the cross. And tonight, we plan on showing a little part of that film. I think most of you have seen it, The Passion of Christ. Show you a little bit of about 5 minutes of it tonight before we have the Lord's Supper. You sitting here this morning, and don't you think about your family. You know you love your family, but they're not going to be in heaven just because you love them. I want to tell you something that goes far, far reach further than that. They won't be in heaven just because Jesus Christ loves them. You're not going to be there just because Jesus Christ, because He loves the whole world, and the whole world's not going to be there. John 3:16. He loved the whole world. He made preparations for the whole world to be at the Lamb's Supper of Life, but they're not going to be there. The Bible tells us the majority of the people that has ever lived on this earth is not going to be in heaven. There's a wide road and there's a narrow road. What would it take for your family to know that your family is going to be sitting across the table for you, with you at this great supper? They got to honor Jesus Christ. And when you honor Jesus Christ, you honor the Father. Jesus Christ, in this verse of Scripture, really 1 through 14, He's telling us about a parable. Now, this parable is to the Jews first. See, He invited the Jews to come first. He come to the Jews first, Jewish nation. He worked through the Jews. That was the apple of God's eye. He chose them. I often wondered sometimes, well, they must have been some good people. No, they weren't no better than nobody else on the face of the earth. The Jews. Started from Abraham. But the Jews was God's chosen people, apple of His eyes. I wonder, they must have been some good people. I tell you, those Jews must have been some good people. Nope. They was no better than any of us sitting here today. They was liars, murderers, thieves, rapists. But what made them great? Because God chose them. And He said, I choose the nation of Israel, and I want the rest of the world to see whenever I choose a group of people, I want the rest of the world, all the nations around them, to see what God can do with a nation that God chooses. And you saw in the Bible what God done to the nation of Israel, blessed upon all the nations of the world. Only this nation existed the hundreds of years that the nation of Israel had existed. Not because they was good, because they was chosen of God. And what God done for them. And God says, I'm going to work through the nation of Israel. You see, there's only one spot, one place that God met in the whole big wide world with people in the Old Testament. And that was in the holies of holies. And one man was allowed to go in there, that high priest, and he could only go in one time a year. Only his place on the face of this great earth with all the millions of people, only one place. And that was in the Jewish nation. That was either in a tabernacle or the temple that God would meet there in the holies of holies. He only worked through His nation Israel. But the nation Israel failed. And you find out in these scriptures, bad, good, they failed. They moved into Canaan land. Instead of the nation Israel living up to God's standards and embracing God like they should, they wanted the gods of the nations of the world. They kicked out God like we've done in our nation. You see, and they went under captivity. They would not accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then was born in Bethlehem. God come down a human form. The nation of Israel rejected Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But they rejected him. He had a feast made up for them. But they rejected him. He said, well, I'll call another vine and grafted it in another vine. That is the Gentile. That's you and I. I'm going to have this feast, and just because the nation of Israel, and explains here, we won't even have a chance to get into all that, but he explains here, I called the nation of Israel. I had a wedding supper of the Lamb, and I tell you, many of them refused. But that did not stop the great supper of the Lord in the sky. It's still going to go. It's still going to happen. And I'm going to tell you now, God works only through his church. Anything outside the church is dead or will die. God only works through his church. Now, I'm not talking about the local churches, which he does work through the local churches, but the ones that are born again, baptized believers is his church. But you see, you're sitting here today, this morning, and you may not go to that wedding supper in the sky because you refuse Jesus Christ. And some of your family may not make it. That's a sad statement, is it not? Some of your loved ones may not make it. They might be church members. But that is not the sign they're going to have that supper in the sky. They may not make it. But regardless, you might choose not to go. Some of your family may not go, but it will not stop the supper that God intends for the Lamb supper in the sky. That will not stop it. Whether you go or you don't go, it's going to happen anyway. Verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth a servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come, the nation Israel. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fattlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, nation of Israel, and went their way, one to his farm, they didn't have time, the other to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities, captivity. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bid were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways. Go to other people. Go to the nation on the highways. That is the Gentiles. And as many as ye shall find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered unto all as many as they found, both bad and good, Gentiles and Greek, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your preparation for that great supper, that marriage in the sky, and that Lamb of God. Father, we just pray that each person here today will be at that supper. Father, we pray that all their family, the loved ones, their friends, our neighbors, be at that supper. I know that you have invited in your word, your Holy Spirit of God now is inviting everybody here to be there. And there's only one ticket, that is a ticket of Jesus Christ. Father, we just pray, God, that every person here will make that calling and election sure that they will be there. When they sit across the table, their friends and families and loved ones this Christmas season, we just pray they might think about this and see their children, see if they really enjoy the worship of God. See their family if there's any evidence of the joy on their heart they have received Jesus Christ. Without that, there will be no supper. Father, we just pray for the four saints of this service. The Holy Spirit of God is already working in this service. The power of heaven is upon this service this day. It's not my words that's speaking, but the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The king's wonderful invitation. The parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That marriage of the son. The invitation for you to come. But then it says in verse 3, it said, they would not come. Now that is something that's very, very sad. As you think about, they have been invited. Here today, God has invited you to be saved. He invited you to be at that supper. I wonder if anybody is going to go out that door lost. I wonder if they come in that door lost and going out that door lost, because you have been invited to that Lord's Supper in the sky. But it says that they would not come. There's millions and millions of people across the face of this earth that will not come to Jesus Christ. They will not come. That is sad. But Revelation 19 and 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife had made herself ready. It will happen, as God says. That marriage will happen. It lasts forever and forever in heaven. It says, glory to celebrate like you have never seen or heard before of the invitation to come. To the nation of Israel first, and also to the nations of the world. The application is to us today. It is a royal feast, it says there in verse 2, the king. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king that made this marriage ready for his son. It is a royal feast. Jesus is a royal son of the King of heaven. And you will never settle the sin question until you settle the son question. You got to settle the son question first. The Bible is all about Jesus Christ. It's not just the Old Testament and New Testament. It's the Bible completely. Verse 3, it says, they would not come. If you look upon this world today, and you'll see a lot of people, they will not come to Jesus Christ. That's what's happened to our nation today. They will not come to Jesus Christ. Families here today, and also personally, it's very sad because you have been invited to the Lamb's Supper in the sky. Psalms 2 and 7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Psalm 2 and 12 says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the ways. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. John 3:16, as I said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, For God sent not his son into this world to condemn this world, but the world through him might be saved. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Are you listening today? Hear ye him. This is a royal feast in honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come in tonight for the Lord's table, for the Lord's Supper, to honor Jesus Christ for his broken body and his shed blood. Will you be here to honor him? If you're never bowed to Jesus Christ, you're not right with God the Father. If you have never bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, you're not right with God the Father. If you're not right with God the Son, you cannot honor God the Father without honoring Jesus Christ. You give this great and this final invitation for every one of us to all the special guests. And maybe sometimes some of us, some of you in the future, some in the past, maybe you're going to have a great wedding feast for your son. You're going to give a great wedding feast for your son. And you invite, so many friends, visitors for that wedding feast, special guests. And then some of them say, I'm not coming. And you say, well, why not? Well, they say, I don't really particular like your son. I don't care anything about the things that he likes. And really, I'm not really fond of you. You know, that's exactly what people are saying about God this hour. It rejects him as a Lord and Savior. It's exactly what they're saying. They're insulting God and dishonoring the Son by dishonoring the Father. But you see, it is a royal feast, the king. But it is a very rich feast because the king planned it. It says there, also in verse 4 again, it says, and he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat, and our kill, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. I mean, that's a great feast because it is a very, very rich feast. I mean, prime ribs. As you think about it, as you have your feast between now and Christmas time and New Year's, thank you all, there have been some great feasts, have they not? I know that y'all sit down to a great table. It's good. But this is going to be a royal feast. It's going to be a very rich feast. And you see, the devil don't want you to know what you have in Christ. He don't want you to know how rich you are. That's the reason you need to come on Wednesday night, because I've been explaining that through the book of Ephesians, how very rich you are this morning if you know Jesus Christ. But the devil don't want you to know how rich you are. He wants you to think negative about God. Negative about God. You are a Christian, he said. Now look what you're going through. Aren't you having all type of problems and your family's in turmoil and you're a Christian? What in the world is going on? He wants you to think negative about God. The devil don't want you to know and don't want you to see exactly what you have in Christ Jesus, but he wants you to think negative about God. Look at poor old you, what's happening to you, what's happening to your family. Poor old you. He wants you to think negative about God. John 10:10 said, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill, but to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You need to really understand that scripture. Why do people and family, you are in such a mess they're in today? Because they will not give honor to Jesus Christ, a Lord and Savior. They want to think negative about God. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, because he's winning the battle when he gets you to think negative about God. There's four marks I thought about as people think negative about God. Without God, most of them without God, they're so ruthless. I mean, you just think about this. Have you ever watched on television Fox News? That's the only one I watch. Oh, Waters World, and he goes around these college students and sticks the microphone in their hand, in their face, and asks them some question about anything. They don't know nothing about nothing. I mean, they just rootless. They don't have no roots. They don't understand life. They must be living on another planet. I mean, they don't have any education at all in the normal things of life. And you see, they have no belief system. They have no root system. They have no belief system of these college people. You say, you know what? They get to college, and you listen to me. If any young people fish and go to college in the future, listen, because they will tell you to be wide-minded. That's wrong, and that's error in the Word of God. Jesus Christ was very narrow. The narrow road leads to everlasting life. Be very careful, because that's exactly what they want you to do in the education system of the world today. They want to bring you into a wide life. You stretch your mind so far, the more you stretch your mind, the thinner it gets, does it not? That's what they expect you to do. They have no root system. Their family probably have not brought them up in church. They don't know about Jesus Christ. They have no roots. They don't know where they come from. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing here. No root system. That's the reason they don't celebrate Jesus Christ. Now, they might celebrate Christmas. Now, you'll see a lot of that. Oh, Christmas. Now, we don't want to do away with Christmas because that's where the money's at. Will they celebrate Jesus' birthday? That's the thing about it. They're so restless. You think about restless. You see on television where all these demonstrations and these college, most of them college students, turn out of college, you know, and demonstrate. They're restless. I mean, they're just as restless as they can be. They're looking for something to fulfill their heart and mind and soul. They're so restless. You know, a lot of times what they do, they turn to drugs. They turn to sex. They turn to alcohol. They are so restless and ruthless. It says, you know what? They'll take their life. They'll take other people's life. Suicide, killing others, they don't bother them. They have no remorse. It says, the Bible said, being past feelings. See, this terrorist while this past week was in that car, and he didn't have a gun. He took a car and run over those college kids up there somewhere. He didn't kill none of them, but he run over a bunch of them. Then he got out with a butcher knife and wanted to start cutting them with a butcher knife. Isn't that something? You know what was wrong with him? No remorse. He didn't care. You see, he had no roots. He didn't have no care, no concern. Past feelings. He didn't care who he killed. Just running a bunch of people with a car. They never done nothing to him. Just running into them. That's where people is without God today. That's where the people is without God. A whole generation do not understand the riches in Christ Jesus. Do you understand your riches in Christ Jesus today? You sit here, if you're not saved, you don't understand the riches that God got for you if you just accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Don't go out of this church today, lost generation today. Devil don't want you to think positive about the Lord. He wants you to think negative about God. Oh, me. Oh, Christians, sometimes, you know what? Just because you're saved, don't think you're not going to still have problems. Don't think you're going to still have, you're not going to have no trouble. Well, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about troubles no more, no problems. It's all said, no, sir. You might have more because you are saved. But you got somebody to go with you through your problems, through your trials. You see, God don't want to just change your problems. He wants to change you. And sometimes that's the reason we have all these problems. But you see, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Think negative about God. And then that's been going on for generations. It worked then. It works today. It'll work right on with people to think negative about God, what God has not said. That's what the devil wanted her to do. Think negative about the things of God. Eve, what do you think about God? But you know what God said to Adam in 2 and 16? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden they may freely eat, is that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat it all. Come to the Lord's table. God says, come. I want you to think positive about God today. Positive because He's given you a way out. Positive because He's invited you to the greatest feast any mind can imagine that God has done for you. Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. It says, Psalm 84 and 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be held from them that walk upright. 1 Timothy 6 and 17 said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in a certain riches, but in the living God which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You have been invited the riches of God. Think positively about God. I'm going to tell you, it's a royal feast. It's a rich feast. And I'm going to tell you what, it's a ready feast. Already made. All things are ready, it says there in verse 4. Thanksgiving, there was a lot of work put on for Thanksgiving food, I knew. You see, but we're coming up Christmas time, family and friends. There's a lot of work. Make sure the meal is for all the people that's invited to your home or wherever that you're going to have this at. There's a lot of, come, it's time. It's time to eat. When you come to that feast, you know when you come, you know what you're doing? You're honoring the one that has invited you. When you come to that feast, you have honored the one that has invited you. All right, whenever you come to Jesus Christ, you honor God the Father. It is a great feast. The second thing, the king, wrathful indignation, verses 5 through 7 that I've already read. Now there's going to be a supper. There's going to be a great dinner. The wrath of God, the indignation for those who will not come. Miss Lucille Brown is probably going to cook for that Brown bunch at Christmas time. And Lord, was she slave. Oh, she'd be in a tizzy. She can't cook enough of food for that Brown bunch. And then about two-thirds of them say, I ain't coming. Miss Lucille, mad. Will you, Lucille? And you would too. Mothers, you fix that meal all prepared, all that hard work, and half your family, I ain't coming. There's some wrath there, would there not be? Why don't you look what God prepared for you? This feast. You know what you're saying to Him? By not coming forward and accepting Jesus Christ, you're saying, I ain't coming. That's the reason there'll be a wrathful indignation of God. He's made it ready. He sent His Son that you might have fellowship with Him. Now, how can we have fellowship with the Son? How could I have fellowship with a God? I'm a sinful person. God's holy. I'm nothing but a worm. God's God. How can I come in contact with a holy God? I know what I'll do. I'll start living the best I can. I mean, I come to church. I start paying my tithes. I stop doing this, start doing that. I'll do the best I can. You're not going to see God by doing the best you can. Because the Bible says there's none of us good, no, not one. You cannot come into a holy God because you do good. I need to have contact with God. Well, what will I do? I can't, nothing I can do. God will not accept any of my righteousness, but all of the filthy rag in his sight. I want to come in contact with God. God's drawing me, but how can I come in contact with God? Jesus Christ, God knew that man could not have contact with him. You see, in the Old Testament, he said he would only come the one place, and he'd come in a cloud. He'd come in a cloud. No man was able to come in contact with that holy God. That was before Jesus Christ came to this world. It was all pictured today that when he would come. They could not come in contact with God. No person could come in contact with God in the Old Testament. Tabernacle or a temple. Only the Holy of Holies, that priest, one time a year. But then a cloud would fill that place. And he'd go in and sprinkle blood and he'd get out of there. He didn't come in contact with God, just the holiness of God. But now how, now that we, you and I, it's nothing but worms and sinners, could come in contact with this holy God that they couldn't in the Old Testament? Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, had become man that I could become God and God-like. He took flesh and blood. You say, well, God's God. He didn't have blood. He did when Jesus was on earth. He did when Jesus was on earth. He had blood. And what he done when he come, and we're going to see a view of it tonight on that little film. He came and he took me by the hand. And he took God by the other hand. He said, I want y'all to have fellowship now. We can. We're going to have to do it through Jesus Christ, what he done for us. There's no way you can have fellowship with God unless you come through Jesus. No way. You're just lost as you can be. No matter how good you try to be, you're just lost without God. You see, the reasons that they said this, they're so careless. There in verse 3 said they would not come. Not they could not come, they would not come and celebrate that great supper in the sky as today. They were so careless, the people today, they're so careless with this invitation. You see, and then there was mockery. He said, verse 5, they made light of it. Joke and make fun of the things of God, trampling the precious blood under the feet of man. Hostility took over. Verse 6, they slew them. Hostility, the day of the world. And you see, every year at Christmas time, you see the hostility about Jesus Christ. No Christ, no manger scene. Get Jesus out of this world. We don't want him around. Oh, sure, the merchants, they don't mind Christmas. But no Jesus. No Jesus. Hostility takes over. And Hebrews says, if today you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Refuse to come to Jesus Christ as a clenched fist in the face of God. And you're saying, God, I will not come to you by rejecting Jesus Christ. The king's willful determination. Verse 8 and 9 as I read it. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Invitation had been set out. Go ye therefore into highways, as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And so the servant went out to the highways, gathered together all many that we found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. But I said, go out. They went out. He was determined. As I said, you and your family, you might not be there. I hope you are. They may, some of your family not be there at that marriage supper. But they're still going to be a marriage supper. The marriage will be furnished with guests. The nation Israel rejected Jesus Christ. But you see, when you've done that, he opened the door to the Gentiles. That's us. Just because they refuse it. You now are the marriage of the Lamb of God, the church, Jews and Gentiles in the church age, the marriage supper. They would not come. But you see, they're going to have praise. God's going to have praise. If we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. They'll cry out. You refuse, and your family will not shut up heaven's door just because it's your family refused, or some of your loved ones, friends, or maybe you this day. Revelation, it says, I will open that door, and no man will shut it. But when I shut that door, no man will open that door. God has opened that door to you this morning. Every one of us commanded to go and to bring. Go out to the highways and hedges to all whosoever will come. Come to Jesus Christ's invitation. That's what I'm doing now. I got the privilege of inviting you to the greatest feast that this world will ever know, and that is the feast of Jesus Christ. And all hell will cry out, send someone to my loved ones. Send someone to my loved ones. I think the greatest sin of most churches and most Christians is God's people folds their hands as people goes into the place called hell with folded hands. He says, go out. My supper's ready. The guests will be furnished with garments. King come in and saw this man without a wedding garment, without the righteousness. You see, because at that time the wedding was furnished and the garments was at the door. You put on the garments, you come in, but this man didn't have a garment on. You see, it all depends on what clothes that you're wearing, whether you make it to heaven or not. It's going to be how you're dressed. How are you dressed for this marriage? There's only one way you can be dressed, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How do you get this garment? You work for it? You pay enough for tithes? You come to church enough? You're just a good old guy? You cannot work for this righteousness. It is a gift. You cannot improve on this righteousness. It is from Jesus Christ and His righteousness, not your righteousness. Isaiah 61 and 10 says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself out with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with jewelry. God has clothed me with salvation. He done it. I'm going to that wedding feast. The garments and the robe of righteousness I'm wearing right now. Something I done? No, I ain't bragging on myself. Not even the best 15 minutes that I ever lived will not get me to heaven. You think you're doing pretty good? You think you're living a pretty good life without Jesus Christ? And the best 15 minutes you ever live will not air to you, not one second, not one little place in heaven, being the best you could all your life. Without Jesus Christ, there's no going. Without Jesus Christ, you will not come to that supper in the sky. And I hope that you think about it this from now. All the great feast, the fellowship, the food that we'll be taking up from now to the first of the year. A lot of families get together, and you look across that family, you see your son and your daughter, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. I hope you get to thinking about this. What is on their life that really will assure me that I'll see my family in heaven? Did they love the things of God? My children tell me, oh, I can't hardly wait till Sunday, Mama, that we go out there and worship Jesus Christ. Are they glad to come to church and honor Jesus Christ and bring their worship with Him? Oh, what do you get out of it? You're not coming here to get something out of it. You're coming to bring something with you. Most people look for something to get out of it. Oh, I care about you. I want to get something out of it. You're not coming to get something out of it. If you don't bring something with you, you're not going to carry nothing home with you. Bring your worship with you. Are there any evidence of their life? Are there any evidence? See, they're going to be a feast. No matter what, it's going to happen. God said, I'm appearing. It's already ready. Hey, it's already ready. And I tell you, if you turn this feast down, they're going to be wrath. If you turn it down, Lucille's going to be mad if you turn that brown feast down, ain't she? Now, all just you mamas and daddies, all this work we're fixing to have to do to get ready for Christmas time. God's done a lot of work. He sent his only son to die on the cross that we might have this feast and this fellowship with God in heaven. Now the invitation goes out. We come with a song. It's sending out to you now. You come into this building. I had the honor to give you this invitation from God. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt this morning, if something would happen to you right now, if you was to die, you or loved ones and family, do you know exactly where your family would be at? Would they be at that supper? You know without a doubt. You come here this morning. You got an invitation to come. But you see, if you turn it down, you don't know if you're ever going to have another opportunity to come or not. He's offered this to you. You see, God has done everything to reach you as he can. He's a holy God, and you know what? He can't reach down and touch you. He just reaches down through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is walking up and down every one of these pews. He's walking up and down every one of these pews. Then he stops at your pew. He said, will you be at my supper? Will you be at my supper? Will your family and your loved ones be at my supper? It's all prepared, it's all ready. And the sadness, he said that they would not come. They would not come. I hope you're not saying that in your heart this hour. If you need Jesus Christ, I hope you're saying, I will come. Would you come this morning, realizing it, what God has done for you? And it's so simple, you know, a lot of us old men, we like to run past it. It's so simple to be saved. Would you come and be saved this day? Well, what will people think about if I come down? It don't make no difference what people think, so they'll be praying for you. What you and God knows together, that you are a lost sinner and you need to be saved. Yeah, but I'm afraid I can't live it. There's some things in my life I need to straighten out. There's some things in my life I need to quit doing. I know it's not right. I know that the rest of these people probably don't do what I do. And I just, if I get my life straightened out, and you know, I'll come back, and I will. You'll never get it straightened out. You know what? God is not telling you to quit doing anything. He's not telling you to quit doing it. He's not telling you to clean up your life and then come and I'll accept you. I'll accept you just like you are. Because when Christ died on the cross, we were without strength, and he died for the ungodly. You know what without strength means? It means I in myself was not possible to have strength to live godly. I couldn't do it. And God don't expect you to do it. So if you would come this morning, God don't expect you to clean up your life. You don't have to be holy to come. You're holy after you come. Because God makes you that way. He said, if you'll come, he says, I'll take the robe of righteousness off. He says, I'll put it on you. And you'll be accepted and beloved of the God because of my garment of righteousness. That's the only way that you come to my supper. It's through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, what he's done for you. As we stand, we sing this song. And on the first stanza, don't wait on somebody else. You come right on. And by you coming, someone else will come. You see, if someone just come, it might make other people come. You need Jesus Christ, you need to come. Lay down. Isn't it time? Won't you come? I come and pray for someone else to come. So you're not coming to me. You're not even coming to a church. There's no salvation in a church or Pleasant Hill. Salvation is in a person named Jesus Christ. Would you come this hour? Say yes to Jesus Christ, this great invitation.
Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by.
Christ is speaking to you.
Yes, all the dear children.
Are you going to say no to me?
In thy tender.
Are you going to walk out of this church the same way you walk in?
And fit us for heaven.
Not under the blood, but over the blood.
With thee there.
God bless you. Thank you. God's done his part. The Holy Spirit, the Word, done his part. What did you do? It's up to you and God. Steve Borton, you might give us a benediction, please.